Although I studied healthcare, my study of philosophy, particularly Indian, Advaita Vedanta, and particularly quantum theory and dynamic systems theory, led me to believe that healthcare should be based on science, and that the traditional medical model should also be based on science, which it isn't. Now, a lot of people might get a little bit upset about that. I've said this at big conferences in front of a lot of doctors. But the point is that traditional medicine, the science it's based on is the methodology of science. Also, they practice science methodology, which means they use scientific methods for research. They do it well. They use laboratory experiments. They rigorously record them so they can be repeated. And they do a really good job there. They also constantly try and upgrade equipment, methodologies, and techniques. And that side of things is undisputed. They are scientists. But when I say basing it on science, I'm saying we should base our healthcare on the way manifestation works, the way the planet works. And traditional medicine is based on a system developed a couple of hundred years ago that really became obsolete 100 years ago. And that's the Cartesian model, the Newtonian model. The concept that everything is divided up and works like a big clock. And if you understand how the clock works, you understand how everything works. And hence the concept of dividing the body up into little parts and specializing in different parts and not seeing it as it really is, as part of a dynamic system where every cell is corresponding with every cell, every neuron with every neuron. And the fact is, in quantum theory and dynamic systems theory, we know that the whole of manifestation is based this way. There is no independent factor. We all hear of the fact that little thing events anywhere in the world can affect other places in the world. And we also know how dependent we are on all the different factors in nature, the ecology. We know that right now we're under threat that if the bee population dies much further, in about 5 or 6 years we could have to all leave North America and go somewhere else, because we're so dependent on bees that if they are wiped out, agriculture and the ability to grow things would be wiped out within a few years. So dynamics of systems theory is real, and it's very real in the body. When you've got a heart complaint, or you've got anything that's going on, it's going to have many ramifications. And you cannot isolate things. You can't isolate and just worry about a heart if you're not looking at the adrenals and the kidneys and the nerve supply and all the other different factors. And what I've designed and doing with the BodyTalk system is using both the medical model, anatomy and physiology. I also use the Chinese model, particularly traditional acupuncture, which is based on dynamic systems theory to a large extent, and other models that are designed to weave in the big picture of what's going on. Now, when I say that, what's going on is, as we'll see later in this lecture, is not just within the body, because our health is also very intricately entwined with everything around us, the environment we live in, the people we're with, the people we live with, the people we work with, people we travel with, and many other factors of the environment. So that it's a very big picture. We're also, how we are now is a result of all the different things we've done in our life and the environments we've had. And we'll demonstrate how this works later on. Essentially, the BodyTalk system is bringing to life, and what I'm doing is basing it on, in the very first stages of BodyTalk, in the early classes that we teach, it is pure dynamic systems theory, which is the basics of the relationships and how relationships occur with our body and the world around us. In the advanced levels of BodyTalk, it's about quantum theory. and where we start understanding how the body works according to mathematical principles such as fractal mathematics, and we understand the subtle aspects of the mind and the higher self and the interrelationships that can occur that are very profound. So I'm going to take you on a little journey with this and illustrate it. I want to share with you, as I said, I've been involved in healthcare for a long time, but I must admit my very first choice would have always been to be a veterinary scientist. And to this day, I still prefer treating animals and humans. What I was really thrilled about, of course, is that Body Talk works so well on animals. As it turns out, it works very well on plants too. There's actually Body Talk for plants as well. But we get extraordinary results on treating crops that have bugs, etc. Instead of spraying them, we can do Body Talk and clear it out. And so I've got a favorite story of mine here. This little guy is Brody. And he's a Pyrenees. They grow into really big dogs, you know, primarily white. They're from Switzerland, and they're guard dogs. But a friend of mine down in Florida, where I live, he breeds little goats, show goats. He hasn't got that many, but they're show goats and very expensive. And he has to have them protected because he's right on the edge of a reservation that has pumas and, you know, other predators. So they need a Pyrenees, because they're afraid of those silly little cats running around. And he was bought because their older guard dog was getting too old. But he had a problem. About 2 days before this photo was taken, he was 4 weeks old there, he was tested by the university and shown that he had a genetic disease that these dogs are very vulnerable to, and that was he was profoundly deaf, which meant he lost his job. And that's why he's so sad. And he'd been told the news. And, you know, he was probably going to be fugged off to some person as a pet, which is a bit of an insult for a dog like that. Anyway, I treated him with Body Talk. And when he got to 8 weeks old, he was responding to calls. And when he got to 12 weeks, he went back into the university. They tested him and they said his hearing was perfect. And that is the first time they've ever seen anything like that occur. And in fact, that was the day before that other photo, because that's him at 12 weeks. You can see how much he grew in that time. And he was telling me the story there. And rather happy. He has his job. I just saw him a couple of weeks ago, and he's now 2 years old, and he's a mountain, huge dog. And he works. And of course, the first thing he wanted to do is jump in my lap to tell me, greet me and show appreciation. I haven't been walking properly since. And but that's the type of thing I love doing. And it is fabulous, because actually treating of profound deafness in humans proves to be very difficult, particularly profound deafness. But in animals, we seem to be able to do it. I think animals respond better for many reasons. There's nowhere near as many complex things like emotions, neurosis. They're not scattered, they're more focused, and live a simpler lifestyle, etc. So they tend to be better patients, because as you'll see, all those little traits and all the little traumas we have in our lives as humans do play a role in our health and what occurs.